comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth, the show where you matter. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and for those of you joining us for the very first time tonight, you don't know about that, so go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see a link that says K-Files. Just click that and subscribe. It's free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you desire. Well, as you know, last week I went tiptoeing through the tulips in the databases on our website, thinking I was doing some streamlining and cleaning some stuff up, and I was. But I really messed up the chat room and disabled it. By means unknown. I have no idea what I did to it. But over the weekend, I reinstalled the chat room, and it's up and running. You do, if you're a member, you do have to register the first time you use the chat room. So since this is a clean install, unfortunately, you'll have to set up your nickname and your password in the chat room. But only once, and then each time you go back to the chat room, you simply log in. This Saturday is going to be a pretty cool deal, I think. I'm a little bit apprehensive about it. Jerry Wills is the associate host here at the Kevin Smith Show, and he's the host of the weekend edition of the Kevin Smith Show when he can do a weekend edition. He's got a very, very busy schedule, but he does some special broadcasts, and he's going to do one this weekend. Now, the reason I'm a little apprehensive about it is Jerry has asked me if I would be willing. This is as a result of a telephone conversation we were having where we were just discussing all kinds of different stuff. And so he asked me if I would be willing to open up and talk about some of these types of things if it were not on the Kevin Smith Show, if it was on his special weekend edition. And so I'm a little apprehensive about it, but I have agreed to do that. You know, I don't, I refuse to talk about certain topics on this show. Because this show is not about that. This show is not about what I want to talk about. This show is about UFOs, extraterrestrials, paranormal, futuristic science, NASA, space exploration, cryptozoology, the strange and unexplained. So we stay focused on the world of the strange and unexplained. But since it's not going to actually be the Kevin Smith Show, it's going to be Jerry Wills' weekend edition, I agreed that I would talk about whatever topic he wants to talk about, and he will be interviewing me. Now, I'm apprehensive about it because I am not normally the one being interviewed, and I don't normally get into those kinds of topics. We'll see how it goes, though. It's in the members area. We'll be back right after this. right, welcome back. And let me just say this right at the beginning of the show, for those of you who are watching on our TV channel, you noticed it was a little buggy. It was a little different. I just couldn't get the software to launch that intro video, but it finally did. I guess that's some more of my tiptoeing through the tulips, cleaning things out of the computer. But anyway, we got it going. You know, the world of UFO investigation has been described by a number of people, including myself, as something akin to looking for a diamond in a swamp. A swamp populated by hoaxes and misidentifications, disinformation, beliefs emotionally defended just as strongly as if they were religion, but also populated by real information. Now, one organization that has made it its mission to wade into the swamp and try to sort out the bogus from the real is the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON. I think probably most of you are familiar with them. Well, tonight, we're going to wade into the swamp right along with MUFON's new international director, Clifford Clift. Clifford, welcome to the show. We're delighted to have you. Hello, Clifford. Well, I don't know what has happened to Clifford. I hope we're not about to have another one of those weird nights, okay? So, we will try to get him back on the telephone here and see if we can move forward. And Clifford, are you back with us?
I am. For some reason I got cut off.
Okay. Well, I was saying that UFO investigation has been described by some folks, as well as myself, as being something akin to us looking for a diamond in the swamp. And because it's a swamp that's populated by some hoaxes, some misidentifications, some deliberate disinformation. Then amongst all that trash in the swamp, there's some real information. And MUFON is in the business, as I understand it, of trying to wade into the swamp and sort out what's real from what's bogus.
That's correct, Kevin. We do scientific investigations of the UFO phenomenon, and it's pretty exciting at times.
Well, you took over as the international director, I believe, on March the 1st, so that's fairly recent.
Well, actually, I took over the last week in January, so I've been at the helm for a month.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the article I read was inaccurate.
Well, it's sometimes the dates get messed up.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Clifford. What about your background? Who is Clifford Clift?
Well, Kevin, I spent 35 years in real estate. I was a broker, a land developer, home builder. Spent 35 years doing that. During that time, I was always interested in the UFO phenomenon, especially since I was probably about 13 or 14 years old and had my first sighting. But over the years, while I was making a living, it was kind of on the back burner till about 1995 when I got back into the MUFON organization because I could see what a fine job they were doing with investigations. And then I was asked to be on the board in 2000, the board of directors of MUFON, and then I was asked to be international director here in January of this year.
All right. So your background is in real estate. I guess, are you retired now from that?
Yes, I am, Kevin. I retired from real estate and started my own choose-and-cut Christmas tree farm with my wife. We've been doing that for about 10 years.
Well, I guess this is a good time to not be in the real estate business.
I got out at exactly the right time. I went through the 1980s, and that was tough, but I got out the right time this time.
All right. Now, you said that you had your own UFO sighting when you were about 13, 14 years old. Tell us a little bit about that.
Kevin, I was with the Ground Observer Corps. I don't know. I doubt if you remember that. This was back in the early 50s during the Cold War.
Sure, I remember. I'm an old guy. I remember that.
Okay. I'm always reluctant to say what somebody's age I think might be.
I can remember stuff back then better than I can remember stuff yesterday.
I know that feeling. Yeah, well, anyway, I was the Ground Observer Corps. You're familiar with it, mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. And they had a little. I grew up in northeastern Colorado in a little town called Brush, and my grandmother was one of those people that belonged to everything and was always volunteering me for something. So she volunteered me to help her with the Ground Observer Corps for the U.S. Air Force. And what we would do, we would go out in the evening, and when they would call an alert, they would call my grandmother, then she'd call me and come and get me, and we'd go out and sit on the little bit of a hill out east of town, and the Air Force provided us with a little shed and a telephone and a light, and Grandma would stay inside the little shed and read the paper, and I'd be out looking for airplanes. And then when we'd see an airplane, we had to write down which direction it was going, whether it was a jet or a prop, the altitude, the speed, and various other things. And then every so often, we would call in our findings to the Air Force. And our code sign was Bravo Lima Red 1. Now, I can still remember that, Kevin.
Bravo Lima Red 1.
Yeah. And there may have been a 2 on it, but I think it was just Bravo Lima Red 1. So we'd call that number, and they would take our report. One night I was standing out there looking up at the sky. There were some white fluffy clouds, big full moon. And it was a beautiful night, and I looked something out of the corner of my eye to the southeast. I was looking east. Something caught my eye, and I looked up, and here was this object. It was probably about the size of the moon, white, and it was zipping across the sky, no noise, and it had something on coming off the back of it. It wasn't like flames or sparks. It was just kind of like it was maybe something blurring off the back. And it went across the sky to the northwest. I went running back to the shack there, and I said, Grandma, I just saw a UFO or something that wasn't an airplane. And she says, what do you mean? And so I explained it. So we called in, and they bumped us up about, three or four people till we had some major. And I explained it all to him, and he said, that's what we're looking for. You can go home.
Ooh, now that's interesting.
It was very interesting. I don't know if he was placating me or whether he was, that's exactly what they were looking for.
All right, now when you called it in and reported it, you reported it as being a UFO?
No, I didn't. My grandmother tried to explain it to him, and then she put me on the line, and I said, I don't know what it was, but it was round, it wasn't an airplane, and it was going faster than any airplane, it was brighter, it was all lit up, and I put UFO in it at the time. Now I put it in because that's what I think it was, an unidentified flying object.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that brings up a good point. And I really hope we have some media people that are listening, and I do know that we do have some lamestream media reporters that are actually trying to do a good job, and they get cut off at the knees, but I know that we have some in our audience. But I just want to make a point. whenever the word UFO is used, or the term UFO, that doesn't mean that the people using it think it's alien. And for God's sake, lose the little green men stuff you put in your stories. How stupid can you get? You guys invented that, and then you use it as if we invented it. All right, end of soapbox for the media. Okay, so you became involved in MUFON for the first time when, 1995?
Well, that was the second time. I belonged to it earlier, back in the 70s, but I just got so busy with my real estate company and land development that I couldn't keep up with everything, and it kind of just drifted by until 1995 when I joined again and became a full member again.
Okay, and you've been active then since 1995, pretty much nonstop.
Exactly.
And part of what you do is train investigators, right?
Yes, we have, at our symposium in Denver this year in July, we have field investigator training. We have about 800 trained field investigators and about 200 trainees. We certified are about 800. And we do a lot of training with them. We have Mark D'Antonio, works with us on the picture analysis, and Chuck Modlin, who retired from Livermore Labs, works with the electronic equipment, the Geiger counter and the magnetometer and spectrographs and all the toots and whistle kinds of things that we use in a trace landing case.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that kind of training, and then hopefully each of the state directors that we have throughout the United States, when one of their people passes the investigator test, then they help them pair up with a mentor or get them lined out with the right person so that they can really know how to do the investigation properly.
All right, you took over the position. When I say took over, you were appointed to the position and assumed those duties of international director in January, I believe you said.
In January. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Coming into that position, obviously you bring with you some vision, some goals, some priorities. So what do you see as some priorities and new directions maybe for MUFON?
I don't know if it's really new directions, Kevin. What I'm really looking to do is to enhance what we already have in place. And the two things that I can see that really we really need to do is to drive membership, because we need people out there in the field becoming investigators that can get us the information so that we can determine what, in fact, this object was, which hopefully will lead us then to the fact that they are extraterrestrial, or maybe they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, evidence is leaning very much toward the extraterrestrial.
All right, now, the field investigators, and well, let's talk about this. MUFON, does MUFON have any paid staff at any level?
There's two of us. Three of us, actually, are the journal for our editor, the editor for our journal is paid, and then a secretary that we have there that's in charge of our merchandising store and membership, and myself.
Mm-hmm. And everyone else involved in MUFON is doing it on a volunteer basis.
That's exactly right, Kevin. And our board of directors, there are seven of us, and we fly around the country to our meetings on our own nickel. There's the board of directors. This is an act of love on their part. I'm telling you, it's pretty amazing. And then our state directors are involved continually with making sure the investigators get to the right people to investigate the sighting. And then our state section director. We just have a multitude of people that have volunteered, and it's an act of love because there is no money in this.
Why do you think most of the field investigators get involved? They're not getting paid for it. I know you say it's an act of love, but it's also an act of committing part of their budget.
Exactly. They do. They spend a lot of time and dollars investigating. And it's an exciting, when you get a real good case, Kevin, it's really exciting. And I think the emotion and excitement is what drives us too, that maybe the next one will be a good one. Because we get a lot of lights in the sky type thing that are really hard to investigate. Just
well, like I said, it's kind of like looking for a diamond in a swamp.
Yes, and sometimes the alligators are chasing us.
How many people are affiliated in some official capacity as a field investigator and up with MUFON?
We like I say, we probably have, it's about 800 trained, certified field investigators, and we have about 200 trainees right now. And we will, the way it keeps going, we just, people like to do this investigation. So we'll get more of them, too, this year.
What percentage would you say? Now, I know I'm asking you for this, like, right off the top of your head, but what percentage of the MUFON field investigators would you say probably have had some kind of a UFO encounter?
Oh, that's a tough one. But I would say probably less than 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Not many of them have seen them. The ones that I've worked with in Colorado, John Schuessler used to be our international director. Mm-hmm. And he'd been in this business for 40 years before he saw one. So they don't happen that often.
All right, we're going to step away for a break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to continue talking with Clifford Clift. He is the new international director at MUFON. Welcome back. We're talking with Clifford Clift. He is the international director of MUFON, and we're getting some inside scoop here from the very, very top of MUFON. Well, not exactly. I guess the board of directors is the very top, but right, you're still on the board, though, right?
Oh yes, I'm the chairman of the board.
Well, it's the very top of MUFON then. Okay. All right. Let's get into some questions that over probably, I guess, the last 6 months or so, I've sort of gotten questions from people in email that I didn't have the answers to. And so I've pulled some of those out, and we'll address some of those. Part of MUFON, a project at MUFON, is called SIP. What is that?
The SIP project. That was established with the funding by Bigelow Aerospace, BAASS. BAASS is the acronym. And we did the scientific investigation protocol for the SIP program. And we had specific people. Now, when I say this, Kevin, Mr. Bigelow, who is a wonderful person, by the way, funded our organization. He wants to get to the bottom of the UFO phenomenon. It is not if they exist. That is way back in the old days, if they exist.
Amen. That debate is dead, is done, stick a fork in it.
Right. So at this point, he wants to know the propulsion system, because Bass Aerospace is sending up units into orbit around the Earth, which are B hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he wants people to go up there. Well, the problem that he's having, and all aerospace companies, including NASA, is the delivery of the load. It's very costly to send these rockets up there.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can determine what propels these UFOs in the manner in which they are run, that type of energy would be of a benefit to him. But it would be a benefit to mankind, too. And that's why we're involved with it, because that's part of our mission statement, is for the scientific discovery of the UFO phenomenon for the benefit of mankind. So we had a very good relationship, which ended the end of January this past year. And Bass and MUFON are at this point evaluating the results to determine whether or not this is something we want to continue with. So the Bass project was funded, or the SIP project was funded by Bass money, and we hired, at that point, Kevin, we hired investigators and had them on a payroll to go out and do the investigation. And they needed to be on location within 48 hours. Bigelow Aerospace, or Bass, also had scientists that were available should the boots on the ground, MUFON, investigators, discover there was something significant. Then their scientists could come right out, too.
All right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'd say that in a nutshell is what that program was about.
Okay, so that's not an ongoing program now.
No. We were funded for a year from February 1st, 2009 to the end of January 2010. And then that program and project was, it was stopped. We knew going in it was a year project. Then we'd evaluate the results, and if it was something of that was beneficial to Bass and to MUFON, then we might continue.
So what do you think? You think it may get started up again?
You know, Kevin, I would like to think that it would, because there are some great things that happened. Some very good information was gleaned from these really good sightings. We average 500 sighting reports a month just to MUFON. That's not the other agencies. And we're finding that about 20% of them are really not identifiable. And we don't know what they are or where they're from or what they're doing, but they're very significant. We have, of that 20%, we usually have 10 to 12 landings and two or three that report entities. So this is on a monthly basis.
So two or three landings per month?
No, we have probably 10 to 12 landings a month. Of the landings, two to three of those have entities reported.
Wow. You know, I really was not aware that there were that many landings reported.
It was amazing to me when I started getting the information last year. I thought, holy cow. Now, granted, some of them we find are a little bit hoaxy, but some of them we can't disprove it.
All right, now when there's a landing that's been reported, obviously your investigators are getting there after the fact. And so this craft, or whatever it is not still sitting there on the ground.
No, it didn't wait.
No, it's not going to wait for you. So how do you determine whether it was a landing or not?
Well, we check the location, if the ground is... In some instances, Kevin, we find triangle shape. Well, no, that, let me say that's different. We find three holes in the ground that are equal distance apart.
So if you connected them with a line, it would make a triangle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the craft is pretty heavy to leave an indentation in the ground. And, of course, we have the equipment to measure the density of the soil to know how much compaction it would take, the weight of to do that, and that type of thing. So we're able to determine that. And sometimes there are trace elements left that then we send to laboratories for analysis. We have not, in the last year that I know of, we have not, there has not been a wrench left or a piece of metal or anything like that. But there's always some trace elements. And sometimes we find that, you know, the soil, most soils have magnetite, and that's an iron oxide type of metal.
Mm-hmm.
They're real fine grains.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the landing site, there seems to be an abnormal amount of magnetite, which indicates that there was some magnetic force that pulled that magnetite into that area where the landing site was. So
are you able, when you look at this evidence that's left behind, the holes in the ground and how deep it's been compressed and so forth, and its density, are you able to make some kind of judgment about the size of these craft?
Not necessarily the size, but the weight and their tons. To some of the compaction evidence indicates that this is maybe like a 10-ton craft.
So these are not little bitty things.
Well, they're maybe about a foot in diameter.
You mean the whole craft?
And, pardon me?
You mean the whole craft is a foot in diameter?
No. The sites where the landing gear came down onto the soil.
I got you.
The footprint of the landing pad is mm-hmm. usually seems to be around 8 inches to a foot in diameter.
And are they usually circular, or are they square?
Usually circular, yes.
Circular?
Uh-huh.
Now, the ones that where they had an encounter with, where they report that they had an encounter with extraterrestrials, or let me change that, with entities, are you noticing any common thread in the description of these entities?
All small, and that seems to be the predominant report is that they are small beings of some type.
Mm-hmm. Now, do any of these reports tell you that they got a good look at these entities, or is it just sort of a fleeting, fuzzy kind of description?
Usually there's immediate recognition by these entities that somebody is there, and they get right back in and go. They avoid us at all costs, it appears.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, based on the way the world is going, it might be good for us to avoid us.
That's what I was thinking, Kevin. This may be a pretty good analogy for us.
Yeah. You know, I've told this before, but let me tell it again. The United Nations has what they call United Nations security officers. And there is a chief security officer in New York at the United Nations building. Now, under him, there is a vast network of security officers scattered all over the world. And they have different levels. You know, they will have like a country security officer or a regional security officer or a district security officer, things like that. The security officer at the lowest level writes his report, his situation report, and sends it upline. And that guy is receiving situation reports from several people. He compiles those into his situation report, sends it upline, and that guy is receiving the next level of situation reports and so forth until it finally gets to New York. Now, all of this happens really rapidly. And in each area, they set the security alert level, sort of like our Homeland Security sets a security alert level, you know, for the various regions in the United States. And did you know that the security alert level for planet Earth for the past almost a decade has been evacuate?
Oh, my.
I kid you not. The security level for Earth is evacuate.
Well, we're pretty much a warring people, that's for sure. People say, well, how come they just don't land? Well, they're smarter than that. The first thing we start doing is shooting at them.
Yeah, well, we might start shooting at them as they try to land.
Exactly. They don't even get on the ground.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a break coming up in about 30 seconds. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the STAR team. That's another thing I got in an email some months ago, actually. And I want you to explain to us what is the STAR team and, you know, what is it that they do, who are they, et cetera. But we'll do that when we come back from this break, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Okay, folks, we're talking this evening with Clifford Clift. He is the top guy at MUFON. So this is the Inside Scoop. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Clifford Clift. He is the International Director of the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. Clifford, when we went away for a break, I said that when we came back, I wanted to hear about the STAR team. What is the STAR team? Who are they? What do they do?
The STAR team, Kevin, is a 4 to 5 people that are the cream of the crop investigators for MUFON that were within that SIP program. These 4 and 5 people, depending on where and when it was, were individuals that have the ability to investigate. They have police backgrounds where they know how to interrogate's the wrong word, but how to ask questions properly, so that it's not offensive to people, but they're not leading questions. They have backgrounds in scientific information, like Chuck Modlin, the one I mentioned earlier that was with Livermore Labs, retired from there. He knows every electronic piece of equipment there is and is able to use it to discover what's going on with this subject. So these 4 or 5 were on call. They had their bags packed with all this technical equipment, or we would send them out to the equipment out to the person to meet them at a location. We had, with the STAR team, Kevin, it was very intricately designed. We had full-time dispatchers. For an example, if somebody would call into MUFON to report a sighting, they were directed to this 24/7 hotline where this dispatcher would interview the person to find out if, in fact, it was a significant case. And we had them like a CE 1, 2, 3, and 4 case. And when you got down to the 3 and 4, our STAR team members were contacted immediately, and they went out on the investigation. And we pulled from our ranks, from our MUFON ranks. We have some very, very good investigators. They just are top-notch. So we had a hard time getting the 4 or 5 because there were so many good applicants, but we picked the 4 or 5 that we thought would be the best at that time. Then these folks, men and women, would be sent out to investigate.
Okay, so I would assume that the STAR team is no longer, since the SIP program is no longer.
No, we still have our STAR team. We just can't respond maybe as quick because we don't have the finances to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have a STAR team, and we still have the 4 or 5 members that are on it. And if we do have a significant event, they can be to anywhere in the United States very quickly, and that was part of the agreement for them to be on the STAR team, that they, if they weren't funded to do it, they could still get to those locations need be.
Okay, let's move to somewhat of a little bit of a ticklish subject. But this has also come up not only in some emails, but also some of the callers to my show over a period of time. I guess over the past year, I've heard two or three that have asked about this, and that is this. I'll distill those two or three into a single question. There are some rumors floating around out there that MUFON has been co-opted by the intelligence community. So how would you respond to that?
I have to laugh. I'm sorry, I am. I have no idea how in the world stuff like that gets started, Kevin. I know everybody. I was in the Army Security Agency, which is now, I understand, called the Army Intelligence and Security. And I was a communications intelligence. I was stationed in Ethiopia. James Carrion, our previous international director, was a Russian linguist. And he was in the same Army Security Agency that I was, and he was a Russian linguist in Germany. We have one of our board members retired from the National Security Agency and was in the Navy. But the three of us have talked at length, and there is no indication at all that the CIA is involved in this, but it makes good conspiracy.
Well, you no doubt have run into those rumors out there on the internet as well.
Sure, sure. And there's, you know, that's all they are, rumors. I cannot, there isn't a person on our board of directors that is a CIA agent or anything else that's involved with some government entity trying to get into our organization. Kevin, let me give you an example of what happened. We had a sighting that was, an event in one of the Carolinas. I'm not at liberty. We also operate under anonymity, so we don't disclose. If people don't want us to disclose where and who they are, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
In our investigations. Well, this guy called in on our STAR team, and they were sent out. The event happened on a Friday night, and this guy's dog was barking, and he went out on the back porch, and there was this flying saucer. Not a UFO. It was a flying saucer, very, very brightly lit, but you could see the details of it. It was probably within 500 feet of his back porch. And he thought, I need a camera for this. So he went back in to get the camera, and just as he got to the door, this object shot a bright white light at him, but he dropped something and ducked, and it just glanced by him and hit the side of the house and part of his arm, which he got some burns from. Well, that was Friday night. He called that information into our hotline, and they got a hold of this guy immediately, and they said they would be there at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning to investigate if there was any traces left from the light hitting the house and his arm and get the whole all the details. Mm-hmm. At 7 o'clock in the morning, two men showed up in suits, dressed in black, and the guy that was the witness thought it was our MUFON, our STAR team people, there early. Sat down and talked to him for a while, and they said, well, do you have pictures? And he said, no, I didn't get any. And they said, okay, thanks, and they got up and left. Well, come to find out, after doing some research with the neighbors and various other places, it was a government agency that was there before we were, and there was nobody else that knew this except our dispatcher and the STAR team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They have to be monitoring our communications. That's just for them to be there before we are, and they knew that we were going to be there at 9 and they were going to be there at 7. So, you know, we don't need somebody infiltrating us for anything, because they can get all that information off the Internet. They can get it off of our telephones if that's what they do. So, yeah.
You know the name of the agency that yes. that listened to your phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do, and we know who we also were able to. We investigate. That's what we do. We mm-hmm. also found out where these two agents, what agency with the government they belong to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just part of it. So we don't need somebody infiltrating us to find out anything. We don't have anything to hide. If you want to get a hold of us with communications, or if you want to consider infiltration, telephone or the Internet, watching what we're doing there, then, yeah, I guess we are infiltrated.
Well, you know, that's what I say all the time. Why mess with me and my phones and my guests? Man, you know, whatever we say, we're broadcasting it. Just listen to the show. All right. We're going to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back. We'll open the telephone lines here in just a moment and invite our audience to join us with their questions and comments. And also our flash message option will be open for those who are not in the USA and they're not in Canada. They can use our flash message option. And we'll open all that up here in just a little bit. I want to talk with Clifford just a little bit more before we open up the telephone lines. Clifford, where does MUFON get its money from?
From our membership. We have we're approaching 3,000 members. We're, I think, right at 2,800. Our membership just keeps increasing, and that's very good. And we have a membership is $45, and that gives you 12 journals a year. And then when you become an investigator, you get to get into the website to the CMS files and to check all the sighting reports. So we just get our money from that. And also we have a merchandising store, Kevin, that we sell T-shirts and jackets and cups and manuals, investigator training manuals, and just old proceedings from our symposiums, which are really invaluable to researchers. So we that's our source of money, is the store and membership.
Well, I have a slogan for you to put on T-shirts.
Okay.
You people are aliens. Get off my planet. That might sell. I don't know. Maybe not.
Very good. It says UFOs exist. The Air Force doesn't.
Well, I have one that I got from the UFO store. It was purchased from the UFO store in Sedona, Arizona, that says UFOs are real. The government doesn't exist. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us. Folks, the telephone number, the main number to call, and this will work from anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889. If you are not on a calling plan where you can call me without paying long distance, then you can call our toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. And that works in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of the USA and Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you, but what I do have is the flash message option. So you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down, and you will see a link that says flash message. And just click that and send me the message. But you have to be outside the USA or Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, we have phone lines, and I'll even pay for the call if you need me to. All right, to the phones. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Petersdale.
Hello, Ryan.
Cliff, I understand there's some new information on the Indiana Kokomo sighting. Do you happen to have any...
Ryan, I haven't. I thought that question might come up tonight, and I don't have all of the information that I can release at this point on that. Is this the one about, you're talking about Lake Erie?
No, I'm talking about, I was listening to another radio show, and Glenn Means, the director for Indiana, was saying that there's some new information about the Indiana Kokomo, the boom, the sonic boom that happened there, where there was on UFO hunters and all that. You know, Glenn Means.
I'm thinking of recent. No, I don't have anything on that right now. I really don't. I'm sorry. If you would like, I can get it for you.
Well, I suppose people can look it up on the internet, but supposedly there's they were tracking three objects that were flying over Indiana, and then all of a sudden there was two objects. And of course, our friend of the show, Dick Criswell, is in Indiana, and he had somebody tell him about what he saw. And I just want to know if you heard anything about that. And I'll just take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks for the call. In that situation that he's talking about, we had someone that told us here on the show that. Actually, one of those objects, and this was last year, actually landed, and there was it was a firefighter that arrived on the scene, and he, other firefighters, and some police officers all saw this thing, but none of them will talk about it publicly, which is not all that unusual, but it is all that unfortunate. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Clifford.
Hi.
I just want to say I'm fairly new to what MUFON is all about, and the only bit that I know is I get from Kevin's show. So, having said that, I'm just really impressed with what you're organizing and what you're trying to do and the scientific approach that you take. I'm really impressed, and I just simply wasn't aware of it before.
Well, thank you, John. That's very kind of you to say that, but that is what we are about. We do the scientific investigation, and if you go to www.mufon.com, that's our webpage, and you'll be able to pick up a lot more information there. And you can even become a member of MUFON. and use your expertise to help us get to the bottom of this.
Okay, I'll check that out. I got a question. Do you think there's any relationship with crop circles?
As a matter of fact, that's a tough one, but it's a good one. We're having Nick Redfern speak at our symposium in Denver this year on crop circles, and there sure does seem to be some kind of correlation between extraterrestrial UFO activity and crop circles.
Okay. All right. The reason I asked is I just heard an interview recently about crop circles, and what the person was saying was crop circles happen more frequently in areas where, at the very least, the locals are receptive, and then the media is somewhat receptive. So if there's a connection between crop circles and UFOs, then given that information, you know, it may be worthwhile working on the idea of reception.
That's a very good analysis, because the perception does have an effect. There's a cause and effect in the whole universe, and
right, and
we're
and
all
if
part
you've
of
got,
it.
Right. Okay. Now, if you've got guys that have a career in security, they would need some amount of retraining.
They would need what?
Well, they would need to focus on the idea of reception, because that's not what their training has been in the past. It would be a different, for a security person, it would really take some, you know, thinking about, well, how do I fit what
yeah.
I know
yeah,
with
I
the
agree.
Idea of reception?
I agree. The security people would be looking at something totally different. And when it comes to the crop circles, they are a little different than the hard evidence of the craft itself, although they may be synonymous. It's pretty difficult, John, to be able to get that all put together, to get the right person to evaluate that the crop circles. It's a little more difficult than, because you have to have somebody that is more intuitive, maybe.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Very interesting question.
Yes, they were. They were good ones.
And back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Cliff.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey. I got a question about UFOs. You know, I'm very well aware of the extraterrestrial presence on this planet. There's no question about it. But what I want to ask you, how many of these true the actual physical craft that people have seen, how many of those can be attributed to secret government aircraft?
That's a good one. The fact of the matter is, the people that were seeing them in the 40s and the 50s, we're still seeing them today, the same type of craft, but if it were a government vehicle of some type, a black ops, then they would have had them back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, which we didn't. You know, the SR-71 and the U-2 spy plane, those things were developed in the 70s and put it, or in the 50s and 60s, but they're still airplanes. So we haven't had anything significant happen that we felt like was a black ops. Now, I do believe they have reverse engineered some of the crashed UFOs to develop the technology. To give you an example, it's my understanding from Jane's Aviation that the B-2 bomber jet engines aren't as powerful as they should be to carry that B-2 bomber around the way it does. And there's some indication that maybe there's some anti-gravity technology that's being used on the B-2.
Mm.
So this back engineering of the crashed vehicles is starting to show itself.
What about Operation Paperclip, when where the Nazis were working on anti-gravity and in fact did build some saucer shaped craft. Do you think it's possible that through Paperclip that they may have back engineered some of this saucer technology much earlier than we have been led to believe?
Well, I think that they were working on it. I really do. From Project Paperclip, where Walter von Braun was brought over without a visa, or a passport to the U.S., and some of the other scientists that were captured after World War II and brought to the U.S., some went to Russia. They did indicate that they had worked on some of that technology. I don't think it was perfected. I still don't think it's perfected enough to have a flying saucer running around with anti-gravity made by the U.S. or Russia.
Do you think the triangles are a secret U.S. technology and not alien?
I think they may be some of that. Yes, I do. I think that some of the triangle crafts that are seen are black ops vehicles. But I think that there's some others that are out there that, no, they're not black ops.
Great. Thank you very much, Cliff.
You bet. Thank you.
Kevin, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 is the main number, and 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, and you don't want to pay for international long distance, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going to my website, KevinSmithShow.com, scroll down, and you'll see the link that says flash message, all right? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Doug here in Canada, just down south of Kevin.
Hello, Doug. How are you?
How are you?
Hi, Doug. Good.
Hi, Clifford. Nice to have you on the show. Cliff, I've seen a UFO up close and personal. It hovered over my neighbor's house, and it beamed a light down over that house, and then it took off straight into the stars. And ever since then, my whole perception on religion and UFOs is, well, put it this way, you can't sell me Christianity anymore. But, you know, I need to ask you something. Have you seen one?
I've seen two.
Have you?
Not up close and personal like you're saying, but in the sky.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Most people, they see, like, a light in the sky, and they say, wow, look at that, there's a UFO. But when you see them up close and personal, I tell you, Cliff, you will never be the same person again. I swear to God. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi. Thanks for coming on to the show. I really appreciate your information that you're providing to us here. You're a smart man. Thank you very much for coming on the show. And I just want to say, Kevin, by the way, I boxed up those books, and they're on the way.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
All right.
Thank you.
623-444-5889 or toll-free, 888-223-4599. We have a flash message from Peter in Columbia. And Clifford, he wants to know, he says, I heard that ex-MUFON director John Schuessler was working on some special project involving UFOs and secret codes, and that's all I can recall. Can you share something on this?
Yes, I'm meeting with John tomorrow, and no, he is not working on a special program right now that about codes and UFOs, unless he's doing it very secretive, and John and I are very good friends, and he would let me know, so I don't think he's working on a special project right now.
Let's see what we've got. Here's another flash message that, that's blank. It came from the United States. Okay. So, John Schuessler isn't working on some special project with reference to codes and UFOs. So, Peter, wherever you heard that, Maybe it was not accurate. Maybe it was some speculation. All right, back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hi.
Hi. Your first name and from where are you calling?
From the Kootenai. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Your first name, please.
Ty. I'm calling from British Columbia.
Okay. Ty.
And I had a question for Cliff. I'm just wondering if, like, what do you do with your data? Do you have independent research teams?
When a sighting is reported, it comes into our system, and we have it investigated, and then we have files. We have archives in our international headquarters here in Greeley, Colorado, and we have over 30,000 sightings in there. Some of them have been digitized. Well, the majority of them have, and some of them are in paper. So we do have archival information for researchers. If they want to come and go through our files, they're welcome to do that, or to buy the the CDs and go through, do their research that way. So yeah, we keep track of them.
Okay. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA or Canada, send me a flash message, and I will be more than happy to read it on the air, and we'll go from there. Let's go back to this thing about, I'll put that on hold because we do have a call coming in. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Cliff. I wanted to ask you, do you still get a lot of reports of the UFOs that seem to zip across the sky in a blink of an eye and do those crazy 90-degree turns?
Oh, yes. Yes, we get a lot of those.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think we'd have any type of technology like that. That's always puzzled
me.
No,
when you're going 5,000 miles an hour and do a 90-degree turn, that's a little different technology than we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And since Doug brought it up, what's your take on UFOs in the Bible and past history?
You know, I don't know about that. I just haven't. I think any time you take a book, you can pull something out of it that indicates it's a UFO. And if you're looking for it, that may be the answer. I don't know. My personal opinion is probably doesn't make any difference one way or the other. But
no,
that's.
Well, Kevin, let me throw this in, and you probably can predict what I'm going to say, because I've said it so often. First of all, UFOs are all over the Bible. If you approach the Bible without your religious sunshades on, without the theological sunshades, and what that is, theology is where they tell you, okay, well, here's what that means. And then they indoctrinate you with what they think you need to know about what it means. Forget that. It says what it says. Just read the words. Okay? If you do that, you're going to find UFOs sprinkled throughout the Bible. And what we call UFOs. And so when people say, well, you know, it changed my religious views, and I'm not critical of that. In fact, that may be good. Because if your religious views are something other than what the Bible says, well, you're probably wrong. And, you know, I get a lot of hate mail when I say God's an extraterrestrial. But it's real simple. Real simple.
Well, he's out of this world.
Yeah, is he from here? If he's not from here, he's E.T. Now, you know, one more thing now. What happens is when you say that, people then go grab their view of what an ET is, paste it all over what I just said, and say, well, you're saying God's one of the little gray guys. Oh, come on. Grow up, folks.
Thanks, Kevin.
ET just means he's not from here. Thanks for the call.
Right.
And angels, you know, they're ETs. They're not from here. I've dated a few girls that I'm sure were ETs.
You mean they were out of this world?
I just have to say they were a little bit off of this world.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I dated some that were out of this world and some that were off of this world and married one that was Lucifer's daughter. Anyway, that's another story. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. The flash message feature is functioning. So if you're not here in the United States, and you're not in Canada, you got a question or a comment, you can send it to me. All right. Use the flash message. I want to go back to this thing about, intelligence operatives, infiltrating or co-opting, MUFON.
Right.
You know, what happens is this is just a natural flow of things. You have people all over the military in all different kinds of positions, and some of them are interested in UFOs. Just right. Personally interested in UFOs. Well, does that mean when they leave the military, does that mean that we need to suspect them just because they're interested in UFOs? We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Works better when you turn the mic on. All right, folks, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening, Clifford Clift, he is the international director for MUFON. He's the cream of the cream, the top of the top at MUFON. Having said that, MUFON is not run as a dictatorship, is it?
No, it isn't. We have the board of directors that pretty well sets the policy. We take the input from many of the members, but we do need to have the guiding light, which is the board of directors. And if we don't listen to the membership, Kevin, and to the state directors as to what we can do better, we won't get better. Criticism or complaints always lead to something positive if it's looked at it that in that manner.
All right.
My ego is big, but it's not so big that I don't know my place.
Okay. Now, linking that back now to this thing about intelligence. You know, there are a lot of people that work in some level of intel in the military or in some part of the government. And some of those people have an interest personally in UFOs. Now, when they come out of that work and go on to something else, should we suspect that they are still linked and perhaps undercover? Or should we simply take things at face value? What do you think?
Well, that's to be definitive one way or the other is almost impossible. I do know that we have some military people that have retired that are now members of MUFON since they have retired. And they're very forthcoming, and they have great information for us, and they freely give it to us, and there's no ulterior motive. Now, we have had in the past some individuals that were in the military and supposed to have been retired, or with some government agency and supposed to have been retired, and they weren't.
Uh-huh.
And they were, this is, hasn't happened probably in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years anyway. But they were trying to see what they could, how much dissension and disinformation they could put out. That's the big problem, Kevin, is when somebody wants to give us disinformation. And what we find is when we get too close to a subject to maybe there might be a disclosure of some secret military thing going on,
uh-huh.
then that's when we start getting disinformation and conflict thrown into us to divert us from our attempts to resolve what this situation really is. There's many UFO researchers, Stanton Friedman, who you're very well aware of,
mm-hmm.
and Nick Pope. These guys have all been under scrutiny by secret organizations within the government and tried to be fed disinformation. But once you become a good investigator, and you understand what the research is showing you, you really don't suck into this disinformation stuff very much.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to spot. Maybe not immediately, but you can spot it pretty quickly. You know, as it begins to, as the aroma begins to fill the room, you can pretty yeah. well tell if it's cabbage. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
John from Oklahoma.
Yeah, John.
Okay, I can't pick you up on the internet.
Sorry about that. We're on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I checked it. We're on. And by the way, folks, you do read, don't you? I think you do. When you see my website and it says Listen Live, and if you scroll down right under where it says Listen Live, what does that say? Alternative listen links. So other places where you can listen. All right. The disinformation thing. See, I've been asked that. I've been asked, well, what about, you know, how many times do you think you've had disinformation agents on the show? Well, I can tell you that I've never had disinformation agents on the show knowingly. I didn't know. You know, and now there are some that I suspected after they got on the show and started talking. And because of some of the fudgy answers they gave to some of the questions I asked. And so, you know, I could smell cabbage cooking. But I have never, ever knowingly invited a disinformation agent onto the show. However, it's certain, I'm just guessing, but it's certain, I think, that there have been some who have been on. You know, if I was a disinformation agent, I would want to get on the largest UFO show on this planet.
Right.
And that's this one. And then I would want to get on the largest one in the USA, and that would be George Norrie. And, I you know, so has George had disinformation? I guarantee you. Have I? I guarantee you. Over the years, there has to have been some.
Sure. Yeah, they want to, that disinformation is, they have people that are experts, they're psychologists, they know how people will react and think to certain stimulus and stimuli, so they put it right out there. And some people just suck it right up.
All right, let's talk briefly. And, folks, the telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA or Canada, you can do something else. If you're outside of the USA, if you're outside of Canada, and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message, and I will be glad to read it here on the air. This is Kevin in Australia, writes to you, Cliff. He says, what's your favorite UFO case? And then he's got a follow-up question. So, favorite UFO case that you've been involved with?
I think Shag Harbor with Don Berliner, who did the reporting on that, where we had five of the events happen where the object was seen by fishing trawlers. They crashed into that bay, Shag Harbor, and went underwater, and then salvage ships from the U.S. came up. This was probably the best documented and most exciting UFO event that I, that's my favorite. That one and the one in Iran, Tehran, when it was the object was seen by the generals and the pilots and chased and shot at, and it was, both of those are my favorite.
All right, his follow-up question is, what are your thoughts on these objects that are currently around the sun? And he's referring to these objects that were photographed by the SOHO satellite.
We haven't, personally, I don't know. Until I have the information from our photo analysis people and the astronomers, which we have as consultants, until we get the reports back from them about what they think those objects are, I really can't say. I'm sorry, I just can't help you there.
All righty. Whenever any organization, I don't care who they are, and it doesn't matter what type of organization, if you're talking about a church or you're talking about a club or you're talking about like a service organization, when it becomes, when it grows and it becomes successful, then there's a lot of jealousy that's generated against it by similar but less successful organizations. Has MUFON run into that sort of problem?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have, Kevin. We've had other organizations start these rumors about we're infiltrated by the CIA. We've had people say that somebody is an operative for this person or for this organization. What we're reporting is not scientific, it's bunk. You know, so yeah, we've had that sort of thing, and you know, that goes with the territory. You don't like it, but you know, that's the way people are.
Well, you know, and look, this is America. Tell me what's not infiltrated.
Right, exactly. So yeah, it's very interesting to see how some organizations try to smear another organization, and we, that's not our policy. That's not the way we operate.
Okay, now, one of the things that has to happen in any organization, if it's going to continue to grow and if it's going to continue to be successful, is it has to have a certain amount of discipline. So that if someone steps out of line, you have a way to either get them back in line or clear the ranks, clean the ranks. Does MUFON ever, I'll use the word fire, maybe you don't use that word, but do you ever fire any field investigators?
Oh, yes. We have done that over the years. We have let state directors go, and we've sometimes people are just so antagonistic and
degrading to other people that they're not a benefit to your organization or to any organization. So, yeah, we do have that problem from time to time. We have certain protocol that people have to follow, and investigators need to follow, and state directors and board members. We're not immune, too. We need to be in tune to what's going on as board members.
So, what? Yeah. Let's just take a hypothetical. What could cause a field investigator to get fired?
Okay, one of them would be one male interviewing a female abductee without someone else present. Sexual harassment. The normal things that you would watch for in any business if our investigators would get involved in something that's criminal, corrupt, they're gone.
Okay.
And
I want to explore that a little bit more when we come back. We have to step away for a break. And when we come back from this break, we'll delve into how to get fired from MUFON just a little bit more. I think that actually is an area that nobody ever asks about, and I want to ask about it. I want us to know. We'll return right after this. We are on Final Approach here at the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Clifford Cliff. He is the International Director of MUFON. Clifford, you were just beginning to tell us how to get fired from MUFON.
Well, Kevin, it's one of the things that can happen is, as I was saying, sexual harassment, intimidation of a witness, falsifying reports, hoaxing something in an effort to get your name out there, that type of thing. Those are probably the largest ones that we have to deal with. And we really don't. I am really quite amazed at how professional our investigators are.
So you haven't had very many instances where you've had to fire a field investigator?
In the last year, I think we let one go, and that was a bad case where the person was intimidating witnesses and other MUFON members to the point that it was not a very good situation at all. So we had to pull their investigator license.
All right, now let's say that you have an investigator. And he goes out. He's supposed to have a meeting with husband and wife, and they are witnesses. And he gets out to their place, and for whatever reason, the husband's not there. He doesn't know that till he gets there. So what's the protocol? What does he say, okay, look, I really can't do this. I have to have both of you here. And then he leaves?
Yes,
is that the deal?
As a rule, we go out in twos. So there's a man and a woman, or two men or two women will go on the investigation. And if it happens where one person happens to go out and there's only one woman, the wife is there, I would, personally, what we do is we recommend that they schedule another meeting where the husband could be there or you have somebody else with you.
Okay, so you've kind of taken care of the situation ahead of time by having two people go out together.
That's what we prefer. It doesn't always happen, Kevin, but that's what we prefer.
Now, when you interview them, do you take a recorded statement from them?
Sometimes we do. We always get their permission, and we can video them. What we like to do is, let's say there's four members in the family that saw this object. We would interview each one separate from the other. And if they allow and it's okay, we'll do a video and a tape, audio, and do each one individually so that we can see if there's, if everybody's saying on the same wavelength and talking the same thing.
Well, all right, cool. All right, let's go back to the telephone. This will likely be our final call of the evening. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Bill from Illinois.
Hi, Bill.
I had a question. Like, say, MUFON here in Illinois, is it sort of like a separate entity onto itself, or is it one big big thing?
The Kevin, the Mutual UFO, or not Kevin, I'm sorry.
Bill.
What was your name?
Bill.
Bill.
Bill. Bill, MUFON is Mutual UFO Network. We're a nonprofit, 501c3. There are some 3,000 members of us worldwide, and the membership is open to the public. And once you become a member, then you can do the training and take the test to be a certified field investigator.
Okay, but MUFON in Illinois is not...
Illinois is a fairly big state, and there's nothing been changed on the website since February of 2009, so I just wonder if they're even still around, considering the website is so stale. I mean, something had to happen in the last year.
Well, I can look into that. I don't know what the Illinois situation is, Bill, but it... I'll have to look into it. I do know that one of the things that we're trying to get done right now, funds being the reason we're not, haven't done it yet, is we're trying to get a new website and get everything updated.
Well,
updating all of the
to
information
join, but
is...
I've seen everything is so old, I didn't know if I was even worth the effort. I mean, if it's not even going to find anything new in a whole period of one whole year.
Well, it could be, Bill, this is just purely speculation, but it could be that they lost their webmaster. And that they don't have anybody to do the updating for them. That's a possibility.
Are you talking about the state of Illinois?
Yes.
Okay. See, I'm not aware of what the state of Illinois is doing with their website. I know our webmaster for the Mutual UFO Network, I just called him today, and they're updating some information on ours now. I thought that's what you were talking about, is the MUFON
website.
No, I'm
talking about the Illinois one. I just wondered. I mean, I could update it for them. I mean, it's not that complicated. But I just wondered. I wanted to join, but it just, like I say, I check it, quite often. And they're still talking about a golf outing from March of 2009 and a symposium from February 2009, and nothing's changed.
You don't think
anyway,
they're still playing?
Anyway, thank you very much. It's been very enjoyable listening to you tonight. Thanks for being on with Kevin. And Kevin, good show. Thank you, sir. Good night.
All right, thanks. Well, that would be a long golf game.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, that would be something like playing golf with me.
Do you take your clubs when you go?
Well, see, I don't play any normal golf. It's either over almost instantly because I'm frustrated from the first shot, from the first tee, or... It's going to take 2 or 3 days to get all of these holes done.
That's right. I know that feeling.
Oh, my, my, my. Well, you know, I've had different state directors on and over the years, and it's always a pleasure to have them on, but I never have had the international director on before. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and talk with us.
Kevin, I am so pleased that you asked me to do this. We need to get more information out and get more members, and you giving us the vehicle and the time to talk about it is just really nice of you, and we appreciate it.
Well, I'm actually very delighted myself. This has been a very enjoyable 2 hours. Now, we have one final question from the Netherlands. from Tim in the Netherlands, and he says, are there any UFO events which, after thorough investigation by MUFON, have led you to believe that the object investigated was extraterrestrial in origin?
Yes. Yes. There are numerous ones that we feel that were not of this earth over the years, not just recently, but yes. The although it's anecdotal evidence, but we do have significant evidence that they exist.
Would you say that Shag Harbor falls into that category, Clifford?
Yes, I do. I think that was a definite seen by pilots in the air, on radar, on the ground, physical evidence, divers coming up, old grizzly divers coming up from the bottom of that ocean, on top of it from the Navy ships, and saying it's out, it's nothing I've ever seen, and terrified and crying. Then they're told to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a significant event, and I'm just really convinced that that wasn't of this planet.
Cliff, if you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment as we come to the close of the show. I'd like to talk with you after we close the show. All right, folks, that's going to just about do it for this evening. And I want to thank Clifford for being with us. Wow, how interesting can it possibly be? My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, when the alien hunter will join us. So long, everybody.